Welcome to another message from the teaching team at Elevation Church Australia. For more information about our church, service times and locations, visit elevationchurch.com.au.
We're in the final week of a series we've been doing called Move Again. And it's a series where we've been seeking God and His Holy Spirit, that God, would you come and move again in our lives and in our church and in our cities and in our hearts. And the first week we started off talking about how God has moved in the past and there's been revivals that we've seen all throughout the world that God has moved in, but we're not content just to talk about revivals in the past. We want to see God move now, in our present and in the future, because God has great plans for this earth and for His church, and so we want to see God move again. Then week two, we talked about the first place that God wants to move is in our hearts. He wants to do a transformation in our lives through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit to transform us. And then week three, we had Dave preach. He gave an amazing message talking about how we can believe again for God to move in our situations and circumstances. And his encouragement for us was, can we believe for God to do miracles, healings, provision, victory, and peace in our lives? He led us in a prayer to do that. We can stand on God's decrees. And then throughout the series, we've heard amazing testimonies, as I just shared earlier, has been an amazing thing to do. I want to say this to you. If God is moving in your life, can you let us know? Because we want to know what God is doing so that we can tell the rest of the church. We would love to have you to come up here to share your testimony of how God has moved you in your life, to glorify God, and also to encourage the rest of the church, the rest of the believers. So please do that, that we want to see God moving in our church. And today, as we end our series, we want to see God move in our city and in our church. Let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you already an amazing time in your presence this morning. I pray, God, for those two people who were baptized this morning, that you would move in their lives in a powerful way. But I pray also, God, for your entire church, God, here this morning and church capital C, every church, Lord God, throughout Melbourne, Australia, that you would move again in a powerful way in the cities and in your churches. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If we want to talk about God moving in our churches and our cities, there's a story in the Bible that illustrates how God moved in a particular city in a powerful way, and it's in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. If you don't, the scriptures will be on the scene, on the screen behind me. But Nehemiah 1, verse 1, it says this: in late autumn, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was in the fortress of Susa. Hanani, one of my brothers, came to visit me from other men who had just arrived from Judah. I asked them about the Jews who had returned there from captivity and about how things were going in Jerusalem. They said to me, "Things are not going well in the province of Judah. They are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down and the gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. Nehemiah is a Jewish exile from Israel in the land of Persia at this time. And what has happened is that he hears a report of how Jerusalem is going, and it's not going well. Some 140 years earlier, the Babylonians had come through and totally ransacked the city, just laid waste to it, destroyed the temple, and the city was now in ruins. It was in rubble. And the remaining Jews that still lived there, those that were not killed or deported off to foreign lands, that were still there, were desolate. They were impoverished. They were harassed on all sides by enemies, and every attempt that they tried to make to rebuild the walls, the city, and the temple was thwarted at all sides by every person that was around them. And when Nehemiah heard this news, it broke his heart to see where Jerusalem was at, the city of God, and that the temple was no longer a place that had been destroyed. And you know, some many thousands of years later, in the year 2024, in this city of Melbourne, there are hundreds of thousands, perhaps even millions, of spiritually desolate, destitute, spiritually impoverished people harassed on all sides by a spiritual enemy that wants to keep them impoverished and in a state where they don't know Jesus Christ, that is dedicated to their destruction. And this news, like the news of Nehemiah, should make us, as followers of Jesus Christ, as believers, weep. Should make us be so distressed for the plight of people all around us who do not know Jesus and His salvation, who do not know who He is. The story goes on that Nehemiah goes before the king and he gets approval and he gets funding from the king. What a miracle from God that would happen, right, from a pagan king. And he gets sent to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. And sometime later, he finds himself in Jerusalem about to undergo this building project. But it's not going to be easy. There are many enemies around who are determined to keep the people of God oppressed where they are, and their enemies are active in trying to stop this work. And so in Nehemiah 4, verse 16, it says this: the leaders stationed themselves behind the people of Judah who were building the wall. So they're building the wall at the moment, right? Then it says the laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load, and in one hand holding a weapon. And all the builders had a sword belted to their side, and the interpreter stayed with me to sound the alarm. They are working at building the wall. They have one hand doing the task of building, and they have another hand ready with the weapon by their side. Keep that in your mind. Remember that this morning. Fast forward two chapters, Nehemiah 6, verse 15. And so on October the 2nd, the wall was finished. Just 52 days after we began, and when our enemies and the surrounding nations heard about this, they were frightened and humiliated to realize this work had been done with the help of our God. 52 days it took to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. To give some context to you, unfortunately, Israel was ransacked and reduced to rubble again, but we're not going to focus on that this today. And some 2,000 years later, 1,500 years later, the Ottoman Empire came through and decided to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. It took them 4 years. 4 years for them to rebuild the walls, 52 days when God was with the Israelites back and with Nehemiah. Come on, I think that's a miracle. God rebuilt the walls in 52 days. This picture of Nehemiah and the Jewish people rebuilding the walls of their city, I believe, is a prophetic word for us and the church in Melbourne, that God wants to rebuild the walls of the church and the city, and He is wanting to do it through our lives and in every city that Elevation calls its home. See, God today is looking for Christians that have their eyes to the sea and to hear the lostness and the brokenness of the world around us. That have ears to hear and eyes to see their friends, their loved ones, their work colleagues, what they are going through in their life, and that He would be looking for Christians that would choose to be like Nehemiah, that would say, God, send me. They would say, God, I weep for your people. Every person, whether they know Jesus or not, Jesus died for them. They are His people, but they got to come into relationship with Him. Jesus wants us to rise up and build our city again, build our churches again. He is looking for people to believe He is going to move again, and He is going to bring revival to our cities and to our churches. Come on, if you believe me this morning, you can give me an amen. You can give me a preach it. Imagine if you guys were louder than me on the podcast, they couldn't hear me. Well, I'll just go taff, turn me up. But come on, you can get rowdy this morning with, come on, we're going to believe God's going to move again. Does anyone really want to see God move again? I grew up as a pastor's kid. I've been in church from the age of seven or eight. I've been around. I'm 47 this year, so I've been around. I've seen some things, but I'm hungry for God to move again. I've seen moves of God in the past, but I'm hungry for God to move again today. I want my children to see a move of God, to confirm not just the stories they've heard of their grandfather and their father, but their own stories. God, move again in our churches, in our cities. Today, I want to share two keys that I believe from the story of Nehemiah to show us how we can rebuild our cities and our church. Number one, if you're taking notes, to rebuild our cities, we will build with one hand. In Nehemiah 4:16, it said, the laborers carried on their work with one hand supporting their load. They used one hand to do the work. One hand. And I believe for God to bring revival, He's going to need us to use one hand to build what God has called us to build. And the question is, what are we building? What is it that we are building that God has called us to build? And I want to say this morning with all love and care, God hasn't called us to build a good family or a great career or an amazing house or good health. Now, He doesn't have a problem with that. We can do that. But that's not the main call that God has called us to, or dollars in the bank account or any of these things or experiences and trips. He hasn't called us to build those things. He has called us to build His church. The church is what He has called us to build. See, the local church, a place of worship of God and a community that people can belong to. The local church is God's plan A to reach the world. And so often we can think that the church is the people in ministry, the pastors, the name on the door, the building that we are meeting in. But it's not. It's you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're the church. So God wants to build you, but together we come together and we are the church. And He wants to build His church to reach the community to know Jesus Christ. See, in Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, I will build my church. And He builds it upon a man called Peter, called the Rock. And He wants to build His church upon you today and upon me and through us to do what He's accomplished. See, God reaches the world through His local church. And at Elevation, we are building a church that makes disciples, cares for each other, is generous, reaches the lost, preaches the word of God, is a beacon in the light of the darkness that is in this world that we live in today. See, we're building a church that inspires intimacy with Christ, relationship with others, and influence in our world. Ephesians 4:15, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ. That's what God's called us to become, more like Christ, who is the head of His body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The scriptures tell us that each part has its own spiritual purpose and reason, just like a body. And that means that every person in this room right now, every person part of this community, not here today, every person, every other church, every other person in another church community is called to build God's church. Either we believe we're part of the body of Christ or we don't, and we are. We're part of the body of Christ, and so the church isn't something you attend, it's a community that you belong to, and it's a community that you build as well. God has called us to do that. See, when a body part is missing, the body suffers. And when a person is missing from the church suffers. And when a work person is missing, the walls suffer. So today I want to encourage you, how can you help us build this church today? Can you come alongside someone and disciple someone? Don't just leave it to me. Don't just leave it to the leaders. Can you disciple someone, speak into their life? Today, can you lead a life group? Can you serve? Can you give? All these things are building the church. Can you praise God for what He's doing in your life and what He's doing here in our midst? Can you be present? Rock up. Can you use your gifts? All these things help to build God's church. Not because we're here about building Elevation. We're here about advancing the kingdom of Jesus Christ to see His name glorified over all the earth. To rebuild our church, we're going to fight. We're going to build with one hand. Number two, to rebuild our city, we will fight with the other hand. So we're going to build with one hand and we're going to fight with the other hand. If the keys could come this morning. See, in one hand, they were building, but in the other hand, what were they doing? In one hand, holding a weapon, and all the builders had a sword belted to their side. They had a sword, they had a spear, they had a club, they had a fork, they had a knife. I don't know what they had, but whatever they had something with which they were able to fight, because there was a real physical enemy that wanted to stop the works that they were doing. And so they had to fight for what they were doing to defend themselves and to fight their enemies. Ephesians 6:10, a final word. Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. I think someone needs to hear that this morning. Don't be strong in your own strength. Don't be strong in your own abilities, your own giftings, your own intellect, your own experiences. Be strong in the Lord and His mighty power. His mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the enemy. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We need to realize today, church, we're not fighting against, you know, physical people. We are fighting against principalities and powers, things that would try to lift themselves up against God's plans. You know, demonic spirits, we're fighting against these things that would try to come and attack God's church. See, as Christians, we understand there's more to this world than just what we see. More than just the physical, what we can touch, see, smell, hear, taste. Did I get that? The five senses. There's more to this than that. There are things that exist that are non-material, non-physical. They are spiritual beings. We believe that there are angels and we believe that there are also demons. We don't just believe in the existence of God, we also believe in the existence of a spiritual enemy. His name is Satan. He is that which opposes what God is doing on this earth. He is that which opposes what God wants to do in your life. He is that that would try to steal, destroy, kill, take from you, seize from you. But the scriptures say he has no authority. All authority has been given to him who sits on the right hand of God. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus Christ. And Satan tries to bring all his available power. He tries to bring about the destruction of people's lives. But if we would call upon the name of Jesus, we would call upon the name of Jesus. Jesus, we declare the name of Jesus over our families, over our homes, over our children, everywhere we walk, the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. So you wake up in the morning, you declare the name of Jesus. Man, the devil's got no right. You've got no hold on my children. You've got no hold on my marriage. You've got no authority in the name of Jesus Christ. See, just like rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, we are called to hold a spiritual sword in our hands that we may fight against our enemy. The question is, what is the sword that we have? What is the sword that we use? What is the sword that God has given us? The sword that we have is our prayer. The sword that we have is the confession of our mouth. The sword that we have is to pray the scriptures, to declare God's word to the spirit realm, to declare God's promises. This is why as believers, it's so important for us to read our Bible. Not because we're doing a religious duty, not because we're doing a legalistic deed, because we want to hear from God. And in the scriptures, God speaks to us, but in the scriptures and in hearing God, we know what is the truth. And when the enemy comes And when lies try to speak into our life, and when situations and circumstances maybe don't go the way we wish they had, the word speaks strongly into our heart and into our mind, and then our words align with God's words, and we pray and we declare and we grab that sword that God has given us, and we pray and we stand against the gates of hell. We stand against the enemy. We stand against the curses spoken over our lives. We stand against the hurt and the pain, and we declare, Jesus, you're going to take this city. You're going to build our churches. In James 5:16, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. I think another verse says, the earnest prayers of a righteous man avails much. Avails much, accomplishes much, has great power. The right earnest prayer of a righteous person, maybe today you're like, oh, I don't feel very righteous. I don't feel very righteous. Jesus is our righteousness. He is the righteousness. Now, yes, we want to be sanctified. We're not going to continue to sin that grace may abound. No, Paul says, no, we don't do that. But Jesus is your righteousness this morning. I want to encourage you. If you don't feel like a righteous person, Jesus, you're my righteous. I can pray and my prayers will avail much to see wonderful results. In 2 Corinthians 10:3, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. I mean, someone can say something to you. The government can put out a law. The boss might say something to you at work, in your marriage, your partner might say something. But what I want you to realize, we don't wage war as humans do. We don't wage war against humans. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning, to destroy false arguments when we're talking to people about Jesus. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. See, you've been given the mighty weapon of faithful prayer to stand against, to demolish strongholds, to break powers and principalities and powers, to produce wonderful results. You've been given a mighty weapon. Is any believers here this morning? Anyone believe this morning? A faithful prayer that allows you to bring your petitions directly to God. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to go through some person. You can go directly to the high priest this morning. Bring your prayers directly to him. This prayer enables you to travail and believe for salvation in the lives of the people around you. Do you know anyone that doesn't know Jesus? God has given you all that you need, the words that you need to speak to them, to tell them about God, to encourage them, to say, hey, I know this person. And I've been encouraging us as a church, let's have ears to hear, eyes to see. Let's be led by the Holy Spirit, that when people talk to us about their life, we're looking. Holy Spirit, is this an opportunity? Holy Spirit, is this an opportunity? Holy Spirit, is this an opportunity? You know, C.S. Lewis, he has this statement that he makes, and I'm not going to get 100% correct, but he says that God whispers to us in moments of joy. He talks to us in the mundane times of life, but he shouts to us in the moments of trials and the valley moments. And I want to let you know, oftentimes, the valley moments are opportunities for us to give glory to God, but also to speak into people's lives around us. Hey, you might be going through a moment. Can I tell you about a Jesus who loves you? I've gone through similar things. What got me through is my faith in Jesus Christ. See, God's word enables us to believe for God to move again in power over our cities and over our churches. And for God to move again in our cities and in our churches, we're going to need the supernatural power of the sword that we wield. That sword is the prayer of the word of God, the declaration of God's word. Today, what would happen if we decide to pick up the weapon of prayer? What would happen if we decide to pray in our own personal lives, begin to cry out for a move of God, begin to cry out for our families and friends that don't know Jesus? Maybe they're close, so, so close. Maybe they're so, so far away. What might happen if we would have a burden for our city? God, we don't want Melbourne to be known as one of the most anti-God, anti-Jesus, most progressively in a bad direction cities in Australia. We want it to be known for an outpouring, an outbreak of the move of the Holy Spirit. God, we want to see you move again. And today, as I finish, we started our series talking about a revival that broke out in 1909 in a city called Los Angeles, California, America. And it was called the Azusa Street Revival. And many people were sent out from that revival all over the world, became missionaries. And it was the start of the Pentecostal movement. It's the kind of movement that we're part of, Pentecostal style church, where we believe in God's power. We believe in speaking in tongues. We believe in the manifestation of healings. We believe in church community together. We believe in expressing our faith in an outward manner, declaring that God is God. Today I want to speak about a revival a little bit closer to home. I want to speak about a revival that happened in 1916. In 1916, there was a man called Charles Greenwood. What a name, Charles Greenwood. And he began holding prayer meetings in his home in Melbourne. He gathered three or four other men and he started to pray, and he was praying for revival. He wanted to see revival break out in his city. 9 years later, in 1925, by now this group of men, this group of people and families had got together and had started a gospel hall church. They had this gospel hall, and as they continued to pray for prayer in 1925, in that year and the year after, in 1926, revival broke out and hundreds came underneath the conviction of sin. Hundreds repented of sin in their lives. Hundreds came to give their life to Jesus Christ. And people from all over Melbourne, all over Australia, come to visit this church to see what God was moving, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And it was from this one church that the Pentecostal movement in Australia started and spread out through all of Melbourne and all of Australia. Every Pentecostal charismatic church is birthed from this one church from 1925, 1926. This church, this revival that broke out, was in a church in a suburb called Sunshine. If you're a visitor here this morning, you don't know, or you've only been with us for a short time, you don't know what that means. Our church, our founding pastors, my parents, Larry and Norma Blackmore, mum's on the keys this morning. Dad helped with the baptismal tank. You've got to have good men and women around your church help you out. They founded a church in Sunshine almost 40 years ago. They didn't know. Had no idea. Someone told them there was a revival that started in Sunshine way, way back in the day. And in fact, in the early days, I think it was 6 or 8 weeks, our church met in the Sunshine Gospel Hall where revival broke out. We've seen God break out revival in Sunshine in the western suburbs of Melbourne. And we did church there for many, 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 many years in Sunshine. Can we believe again for God to break out in West Footscray? Can we believe again? Wherever, if you're visiting here this morning, whatever church you're from, God can break out in revival in your church again. He's done it before. He'll do it again. Lord Jesus, this morning, we thank you. You want to move in power. Come on, stand up this morning with me today. Stand up and bring your faith. Bring your prayer this morning. God, we thank you this morning. This morning, we declare you've moved before. There's been revivals in the past, in America, in Britain, in Europe, Lord God, the Welsh revival, the Great Awakening, Lord God, Azusa Street, the Sunshine Gospel Hall revival. We're asking Jesus, would you move again in our cities? Would you help us to rebuild the cities, Lord God? Would you help us to rebuild your churches, God, as we build with one hand and as we pray and fight with the other? Jesus, you're going to do a mighty